As the enemy had a strategy for my life to hold me in bondage, he has a strategy that's unique to you, to everyone. He wants to hold us back from being the gift that we are and from giving that gift away. We want to demonstrate God's faithfulness and proclaim the good news and really watch as the Holy Spirit liberates people.
We are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Schreiber. You're listening to episode number 45 with the topic of understanding the heart of the Father. Our listeners, you've heard me talk about Unbound, the book, Unbound the Model. Well, today we are going to really dive into it with the understanding of who God the Father is, how He loves us, and how He wants to continue to reveal our identity to us. Today, I am so excited for our guest. I've been anticipating this for a while. We have today joining us Matt Lozano. Matt serves as Director of Leadership Development for Heart of the Father Ministries. He has 12 years of teaching experience and holds a master's degree in educational leadership from Villanova University and a master's degree in theology from the Augustine Institute. Matt is the co-author of the Unbound Ministry Guidebook and Abba's Heart. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Megan. It's good to be here.
Hey, Matt. We are really very thankful to have you on the show. And I was hoping that you would share a little bit about you, your walk with the Lord, and how you walked into this ministry. Could you share that with our listeners, please?
Sure. Well, I'd love to tell you my story. I was raised a Catholic and in a good Catholic home, and I knew all the answers, but I think there was a real piece missing for me, and that was just having a personal relationship with Jesus, which, I pursued a lot of things in high school, like wrestling and various things I threw myself into completely, and all of them really left me with an emptiness. And before my senior year in high school, this was 1995, I gave my life to Jesus completely for the first time, and everything really began to change in me. And one of the things that I really struggled with growing up was just feeling different from everyone in my family, particularly my brothers. We just saw life differently. And the way I experienced that conflict was that, you know, the enemy's lie to me was that no one could really understand me. And I really struggled with that for years. And as my father was developing this ministry called Unbound, I was one of the guinea pigs. I came to him for prayer, and, you know, I knew something wasn't right, and I wasn't growing in my relationship with God or with other people. And as he interviewed me and he asked me some questions, I really came to realize that there was a lie, there was a deception that was holding me back, and that was the lie that no one could understand me. And so when I renounced that lie, I began to hear my Father's voice, and the Heavenly Father said to me, "Son, I know you, and I love you, and I've always understood you." And that was just such a breakthrough for me personally in my relationship with God and also with other people, because there's a lot of mistrust that I had towards people. And that's really the reason why I'm in this ministry today, is because I was set free, and it transformed my marriage, my life, and it gave me a deeper willingness to say yes to God and to be a part of this ministry. I was a high school teacher for 12 years. And then made the leap to full-time ministry. And God has been really, really faithful. And I've been able to see and witness the power of his gospel to transform people's lives and to transform hearts really all over the world. So I've been to Eastern and Western Europe and Eastern and Western Africa and South America, and just carrying this message that Jesus wants to set us free.
I love that. You know, Matt, I know I know you and I know a little of your story. And I have to tell you, even when I hear it again, it's just like, it's so moving because it's so real. And we're all struggling with a lie or multiple, sadly, that, you know, we just live with and we've kind of bought into. So I loved how you positioned that whole framework. And the Unbound model is a deliverance ministry, right? So right. Some people, and sometimes some certain Catholics too, kind of hear that and they pull back, they bristle a little bit. And, you know, I try to say it's really tender and gentle. There's nothing to be fearful of. But I'm hoping that you could just talk a little bit about deliverance ministry just in general, and then why the Unbound model itself is unique and truly bearing so much fruit.
Sure. So a lot of people hear that word, we call the D word, deliverance, and it makes them uncomfortable because some of them, they think about exorcism or they think about, you know, different movies they've seen and conjures up images of the devil or the demonic. And really what we want to point to is that the biblical foundation of the word deliverance, we see in Colossians 1:13, it says, "We have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the beloved Son." So there's a transfer that happens at our baptism, really, and also by faith, that where we leave the kingdom of darkness and all the lies and deceptions and influence of the evil one, and we move into the kingdom, and this is the key, the kingdom of the beloved Son. We're entering into sonship where we know our Heavenly Father as our Father. And it's a kingdom where it's a kind of a paradox, but the deeper we surrender to the Lord, the more free we become. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about deliverance ministry, we're talking about getting free from the influence of evil spirits by embracing the truth about who we are and our identity in Christ. And so everything that we do, like you said, it is gentle and it's focused on the person. You know, it's not, we're not focused on evil spirits or their presence or, you know, we often say like the Exodus wasn't about Pharaoh or Egypt. The Exodus was about God's love for his people. Mm-hmm. And so we want to demonstrate God's faithfulness and proclaim the good news and really watch as the Holy Spirit liberates people, you know, because just as the enemy had a strategy for my life to hold me in bondage, he has a strategy that's unique to you and to everyone. He wants to hold us back from being the gift that we are and from giving that gift away.
It's so true, right? It's that understanding that if he can conceal your identity, which then it prevents you from actually fulfilling the will of the Father, right? Or Absolutely. At least, right, being completely clouded by that. And something that you mentioned, too, is I wanted to let you know, we did a podcast a couple weeks ago on what it means to be a daughter of God, right? Mm-hmm. What it means to be that son of God, what you're talking about. And we did that podcast because we had listeners who said, you know, I hear this term, but I don't really know what it means. And I don't really know what it feels like. And I don't really know how to live it. So I encourage our listeners, if they fell into that category of not really understanding that, read the Unbound book. And if you have an opportunity to go through a conference with Unbound, it's incredible. Because to understand our identity as a child of God isn't just about it's not rubrics. It's not trying to get your arms around or your mind around a definition. You're entering into that love of the Father, like that you haven't truly experienced yet. And this is why I just love, you know, this ministry so much. And I will just share a little bit when I came through, probably about 5 or 6 years, maybe 5 years ago. And actually, your dad had, I was in your dad's line to be prayed over, and you know, I thought I was bringing something else to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right? Yeah, you're chuckling because this is pretty common, familiar. Right? Yeah. And I was like, well, I guess I could do this. And, you know, and he's so, your dad is a very, you know, I'm going to use that word tender again, but he's a very calm man. And he kind of creates this environment of real safety right away with people. There's just, that's just how I feel when I'm around your dad. And, you know, he's starting to pray. And then right away he said, do you understand that God sees you? Well, like you, my lie that I had been, that I bought into really was that I was invisible. You know, what I said didn't matter. People didn't listen to me. People didn't hear me. And I'm just talking about kind of even in my family, and different things. But you know, what's really interesting is, I have a podcast. Who would have ever dreamed of that, yeah. right? And, you know, and that almost was, I just kind of almost dawning on me as I was saying that. I was like, wow, I used to really believe that, that what I said didn't matter. So that was just such an incredible experience. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen a lot of just so much fruit. I know you've seen so much fruit.
Absolutely.
Do you have any, like, particular story that that you can think of that might be, you know, something that you just thought, wow, this was just a really beautiful breakthrough for somebody who carried something for so long? And obviously you don't have to reveal, you know, in confidentiality specifics, mm-hmm. but I guess I want people to hear the message that there is no hurdle too big. It doesn't matter how long you've lived. God the Father wants to reveal his heart to you and to love you in a deep way.
Sure. Well, I'll tell, it's always easy to remember the more recent story. So I'll tell one that was recently, I was a part of, and he gave me permission to share. I was praying with a young, seminarian, and, his name was Anthony. And, we were going through his story, and he was sharing some things about his life. And throughout his story, the same theme kept coming up, and it was, he actually laid it out for me. It was unworthiness, worthlessness, and the lie that he wasn't worthy of love. And he, the enemy had been whispering these lies through, you know, a lot of rejection, particularly from peers in high school and in different situations. So he really was living through these lies. And as a seminarian preparing to become a priest, you know, you don't want to carry that baggage into your vocation. You know, if you get to your parish and then you're experiencing the same thing and you're still reacting to this sense of unworthiness, it's really going to limit you. You know, just like you're, you know, how can you have a podcast and say yes to a ministry if you believe that, you know, no one will hear you? So we got through these things, and so I led him through the first three keys, and the third key is renunciation. So one by one, he's renouncing these lies in the name of Jesus. I renounce the lie that I'm unworthy. I renounce the lie that I'm not worthy of love. And after the fourth key, we move to what we call the Father's blessing, and that's where we really want the Father to speak through us and speak about the person's identity and who they are. And so I'm just listening to the Father, and the only thing I get is the word Anthony. I see the Father standing over this young man saying, Anthony, Anthony, Anthony. And I'm like, geez, that doesn't sound like much of a blessing.
Right.
And, you know, then the thought occurred to me. I said, hey, what does your name mean? And he looks up at me with this huge grin on his face, and he says, it means praiseworthy or worthy of praise. So the very lie that he had been struggling with that had held him in bondage and was holding him back was seeking to contradict his identity,
right.
which the Father had given him from the day of his birth. So he goes home, and that's all great, and we're excited. And he emails me later, and he says, oh, there's more to the story. He said, when I was in my mom's womb, she had a dream. And in the dream, someone asked her, would you rather have a healthy baby or $1 million? And right away, she cried out, I want a healthy baby, you know, like any mother would.
Right.
And she woke up. And sure enough, a couple days later, she went into labor. She's in the hospital. And the cord was wrapped around Anthony's neck. And, he, you know, his blood pressure was dropping, and it was a crisis. And just as this was going on, the right doctor walked around the corner, turned into the room, fixed everything, and he was delivered a healthy baby. So she used to tell him when he was young, you're my $1 million baby. So that was God. That was the Father speaking into his heart from the very beginning. You are worthy. You are worthy of love. You are worth $1 million. And, that's that kind of transfer that we get to see all the time is the Holy Spirit. And that's what you're mentioning when you said, you know, you had your own agenda,
right,
but
right.
God had his own. The Holy Spirit will draw us and really redirect us to those fundamental obstacles that separate us from an understanding of God's love. You know, the way that Jesus did with the Samaritan woman. You know, she wanted to know about this and the other thing and talk about politics, and she had all these questions, and then he directed her right to the issue that was keeping her back from the living water. And that's the way that the Lord wants to speak to our hearts, and Unbound is just one of these tools that we can really use to listen to a person, hear their story, and then using the five keys, we can help them to engage in a response that's faith-filled and reaches out to God's power to transform hearts. And he never fails. That's the great thing about it.
That's right. I love that story.
He's faithful. And when you tell the story and you say he was delivered, it was, even in that moment when this doctor walks by the, you know, through the hallway and decides to come in and help him, especially this special gift that he delivered him. He was delivered from death.
Yeah. It was,
that's really a powerful image that I really saw a very powerful image in my head and felt it in my heart when you were sharing that story.
Yeah, deliverance is the message of the gospel. It's God's plan, his rescue plan to save us. It was the Father's plan from the beginning. And it's also the message of our baptism. You know, we don't think about the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of the beloved Son when we see a baby baptized, but that's really what's happening. We're being transferred out of one kingdom into another.
Mm-hmm. And that's so true. And, you know, when we hear baptisms now, well, first of all, we don't see them as often because they're not during the Mass anymore. But the other part of that is the exorcism rites of baptism have really been kind of watered down. I would say probably over the last 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But there are exorcism prayers written into the rite of baptism that I think a lot of us were never aware of.
Yeah.
But, okay. So I want to say one other thing to that, to the salvation piece of it, because we as Catholics believe that salvation is not this one time situation.
Right.
You know, and I think this is so important for us to remember. Yes, our salvation happens at baptism. We are delivered from darkness into light. We have become sons and daughters of the High King, God, the Father, who loves us so deeply. But we do have trials, and we are continuing to be saved along this journey that we are on every day. And we need salvation. We need to be saved continually. And then, of course, we have the hope that we will be saved finally for eternity on the day that we meet our Father. So, but you keep going back to these five keys. And for anyone who hasn't read the book, of course, we are hoping they do so, but can you give a little bit or speak a little bit to what those five keys are for those who aren't familiar?
Sure. So the five keys are responses to the gospel that we see in the ministry of Jesus. When people encountered him, when they heard him, these five responses we see in the encounter. We see people, particularly the first three keys, are our responses of faith. And whenever you see in the gospels people responding to Jesus with faith, you usually see that power follows and a transformation. So the first key is repentance and faith. And repentance, a lot of times we think about sin or we think about Lent. We think about trying harder and doing better. But the core of repentance is actually the Greek word metanoia, which means a change of mind. And so metanoia, the change of mind that leads to a changed life, is about changing our way of thinking so that we can enter more fully into the kingdom of God. So it's almost like, you know, if you were raised in one country and you adopted all the culture and all the language and all the ways of one country, and then you moved to another country, you'd have some learning to do. You'd have some things that you would have to leave behind, and then you'd have some things that you'd have to learn to pick up. And so repentance and faith is about, you know, yes, it's turning from sin, but it's also turning from deception and empty ways of thinking, and, you know, and also a deeper surrender to the Lord. You know, the more we give ourselves to the Lord, we actually find ourselves more free. So that's the first key, and that's really the beginning for all of us, is turning to the Lord. The second key is forgiveness. And this is a big one, because so many people find themselves in spiritual bondage because of resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. And forgiveness is really a way in which we release the mercy of Jesus, which comes to us from the cross, and we allow his words on the cross to flow through us. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And when we release forgiveness, we release ourselves. You know, we allow ourselves to receive more of God's mercy as it flows through us. The third key is renunciation, and this goes back to our baptism. Every baptism, we stand and we renounce Satan. We renounce all his works and all his empty promises. And I often ask Catholics, you know, have you ever thought about what the enemy's empty promises have been to you? What about his works? What have his works been? And so to be able to specifically renounce areas of deception, areas of sin, you know, anything, any obstacle that keeps us from knowing God and being united to him, we can renounce in Jesus' name. And that really, it does a very powerful thing, because it's an expression of our will. It's an expression of faith. And it's like what St. Paul says when he says, take your stand against the devil's schemes. You're taking a stand against the things, those areas of the kingdom of darkness where you may have cooperated. You know, for example, you mentioned the occult. Many times with the occult, people have given themselves formally through a ritual or something they said or something they did that opened themselves up to the enemy. And renunciation is a way by which they exercise their will to take that invitation back. And then the fourth key is authority. And we do this in the name of Jesus. We command any spirit, so any spirit that's related to what's been renounced or the unforgiveness in their life or the unconfessed sin, and we command it to leave. And it's usually at that point that we see the spirit filling the person, the experience of liberation. And that's when we move into the fifth key, which is the Father's blessing. And the Father's blessing is really an impartation of the truth that the person has always wanted to hear. It's replacing the lie with the truth of God's love and the thoughts and plans that God has for us, just like in the case of my friend Anthony, the desire that God had from the beginning that he would know that he is loved and worthy and delighted in. And so we use these keys in the context of just an ordinary conversation, an interview, and then we lead them through the five keys as it relates to their story. So if they're struggling with a particular lie, we're going to have them renounce that. If there's people that have wounded the person, we lead them to forgive and tell the Lord they're sorry for their sin. And when we use all these keys together, we get to see the Holy Spirit really work in a deep way to bring that person to freedom and to healing.
This is actually how Becky and I got together, Matt. You don't know that. Becky lives in Arkansas, and of course—
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I said I said, you need to read this book, right? Wasn't that how we connected, Becky?
Well, yeah, I was asking someone to, if anyone was familiar with a different book, and Megan chimed in and said, well, I'm not sure about that book, but I am very familiar with this one, and it's great, and I highly recommend it. Yeah. Says, oh, and I just happen to have a spare copy, mm-hmm. and I'll send it to you. And we'd never spoken in real life or in on the phone or anything. I barely knew who she was. So, this is really the topic that connected
us. Yeah.
Now we have one, though.
I know. Isn't that so interesting? So when we had Sue Brinkman on last week and we were talking about some of the dangers and pitfalls of New Age and the occult, we did encourage our listeners to kind of take notice of some things that might be forms of agitation for them. Because as Matt, you probably see all the time, is that there are many people who are not performing or trying to do something offensive to God. Sometimes they just end up kind of out of curiosity entering into something that they don't really think is that bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's hard to hear, especially if somebody is, you know, going to church every day or they're praying the rosary every day or they just kind of can say, well, that can't really happen to me, which we also know that's just a dangerous place to be. But one of the things that we said in the past podcast was we encourage our listeners to look like, are there areas that you're maybe reacting, you're getting a little more angry than normal over a situation, or you have a lot more agitation and anxiety over during a particular situation? You might want to take a look at that particular form of exercise or meditation that people are participating in. I almost want to go in the other direction here and say, you know, this isn't, I'm not going to ask you the question like, well, who should consider Unbound? I mean, I'm saying from my perspective as, I'm just going to use the word a consumer, everybody should be doing this or understanding this. And because we're all prone, I mean, and even, you know, some of the troubles or struggles that I've had, you know, they started when I was in like, third grade, fourth grade. My parents separated and it was like a really challenging time. And there was a lot of woundedness that probably became an entry point for me in that moment. So this is, I encourage this for everybody. And, you know, the crazy thing is who I even encourage it most for are parents. Because I actually saw your dad at an event and I said, every parent needs this in their toolbox. And they do, because I can see it. I can see it happening. Even we had an incident with, when our son was in first grade and his older sister was in second grade, and it was an accident. Literally, she hit him in the head with a golf club. And it was, it's like literally an accident. She didn't intend to do anything evil, and it was an accident. It was pretty bad, though. He ended up suffering a traumatic brain injury and being airlifted in ICU for four days. Praise God, he is doing amazingly well. But you know what happened for her was this trauma of she couldn't forgive herself. Right. Second grade. Mm-hmm. Second grade. And I thought, I was so thankful that I had the tools to be able to just, you know, she doesn't really know what's happening, that I'm walking her through these things, but I could see, I mean, that she was carrying something so heavy that she couldn't, that she was believing kind of this lie that she was responsible for a lot of the aftermath of what was happening to him. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what you are obviously the expert. I'm saying this like as somebody who has benefited, that this is something that everyone should really experience, and especially parents, because of, I just think the culture that we live in, our kids are exposed to so much and enter into a lot of unsavory things that they can really end up in bondage very quickly. So I don't know your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, we're living in a world where nobody gets out unscathed, and we see the impact of sin and the power of sin, not just in our lives, but in our culture. We have a sinful human nature that interacts with the kingdom of darkness, and we pick stuff up. And sometimes it's very innocently, like you mentioned with your daughter, where we're just trying to cope. We're just trying to figure out how to respond. And the responses that we choose, you know, maybe we decide not to trust people, you know, well, that has a ripple effect. You know, you make that decision when you're six that you're not going to trust anybody or you're going to withdraw your heart. That's going to impact every relationship you have, you know, including your future spouse and your kids. And so it is important that parents have these keys to be able to apply them with their kids when they're very young, just to learn how to forgive. And forgiving yourself, that's so important. Many people think that, you know, oh, it's okay to, it's good to forgive other people, but I need to punish myself. I really need to make up for what I've done. And, you know, they try to punish themselves into holiness, which really doesn't work. So the keys are not, they're not limited to Unbound or to a conference. They're for everybody. Jesus showed us how to use them. And, but if you're a parent, to have some more tools in your toolbox is just so powerful. And also for you to understand the patterns that you've learned and that you don't want to pass on to your kids, you want to take a stand in your generation so the next generation doesn't struggle the way that you do. So, that's true. It's not a matter of, you know, gosh, am I oppressed or am I, you know, what does my bondage look like? If it doesn't look like Jesus, it really doesn't belong to you. That's the basic model of discipleship is walk with Jesus, and whatever you see in him, you want in your life, and you have access to that. And if there's something in you that isn't in him, then you can get rid of that. Right. You can use these keys to take your stand against it, because that's not your inheritance.
That's right.
He has so much more for you in the life that you have in the Holy Spirit. Because the good news is we are new creations, and we have been given a new nature that's capable of faith, hope, and love. And you know, the sky is the limit for us. It's just a matter of learning the tools and being able to live out our faith, you know, with our words and our actions.
Right. Well, you know, that leads me to the learning the tools piece. I know that you are coming out with an e-class, right? It's a couple week. Can you just talk to that for our folks who do want to learn some more and get these tools under their belt?
Sure. So our website is www.heartofthefather.com, Heart of the Father, that's all one word. And on our website, you can find various materials. One of the things that we do is an Unbound conference. And at every conference, we try to train a local team wherever we go to be able to use these five keys in their parishes. And our goal, our mission is to equip the whole church to use Unbound. So we train people at our conferences, and then we've also developed three study programs by DVD. So there's a DVD and a workbook, and we have the Freedom in Christ series, the basic training, and the advanced training. And more recently, we started an e-course for the basic training, because we found that there are people, you know, there are people in India who have heard of Unbound. There are people in Afghanistan. And the likelihood that they could come to a conference is not very good. And it's very limited in being able to ship a DVD that far. So this is a way where we can get people together from all over the world who can have kind of like a spiritual community. And you can learn about using the five keys. And also receive prayer through Skype or FaceTime with someone from our team. And I'll be interacting with folks in the course through webinars and question Q&A sessions. And so it's a great opportunity just to expand the message and help people get started that, you know, might be in remote from us.
A lot of us don't get to, you know, go travel and have small children or just stuck in different situations that hinders us from doing that. So that's really, really helpful. I want to just ask one last question and have you speak into something. You know, sometimes when you, of course, say the word deliverance or I'm wounded or, you know, everyone is wounded. Wounded is a universal issue. And some say, well, I don't want to play victim. I'm so tired of people playing victim. And this is different. Being wounded and admitting that woundedness and being released from that woundedness so that God can heal it, it's different than playing victim. Can you speak to that and really speak to the heart of one who might be resisting this healing process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talk to a lot of folks who are they don't want to go to a conference that talks about healing or deliverance, and you know they've picked themselves up by their bootstraps. They've gotten through life, and you know they're certainly wounded, but they've made something good out of their life, and so they would say like, why go to this conference? Why look at this stuff? Why not just move on? You know, maybe just grit my teeth and say, this is the best I can expect. And, you know, the invitation of Jesus to find abundant life, you know, I came that they'd have life and have it more abundantly. That's a promise, you know, and that's a promise that's worth exploring. It's an adventure that Jesus invites us to. And so, no, we don't want people to come seeing themselves as victims, and certainly Unbound in any other ministry, nothing is going to take away the cross. There will always be the cross in our lives. There will always be suffering, but that suffering is redemptive. It's going to draw us closer to the Lord, and it's going to bring us deeper freedom. So the issue is not suffering. The issue is, how have we responded to the events of our life in a sinful way, in a way that's hindering us even now? You know, and if we don't take a look at that, that's going to perpetuate in our lives, and it's going to impact the people around us. And so if we want to be true disciples of Jesus who really embrace the entirety of his kingdom, we need to be willing to take a look at and open ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit. And we always say the five keys, it's not about, you know, it's not just about focusing on our need for healing, but it's really about taking responsibility for our life. You know, taking responsibility for the act of forgiveness is not easy. You know, it'd be far easier to avoid. You know, one of the things people do struggle with is a victim identity, and that's something we can renounce. You know, renounce the lie that we're a victim, and really take up who we are in Christ.
That's very helpful. And, you know, really, I think we're just scratching the surface of this topic. And I pray that, like, I keep picturing this gift box. And today I feel like all we did was untie the ribbon of the gift that is waiting for us, and that gift is really receiving our identity in Christ, living in it, walking in it, and just relishing in it and sharing it with others. So at that, I think this is a really good place for us to stop and invite our listeners to take all that you shared with us and really let it sink in. And then, can we do this again?
Sure.
Have it back? Yes.
Open the box.
Yeah, the one thing I want to mention before we close is we're going to have a local Unbound conference here in the Philadelphia area on June 14th to the 16th in Trooper, Pennsylvania. So they can check out our website if they want details on that. But we'd love to see your listeners there.
That's great. Yeah,
that is great. And so all of your conferences are listed on your website, correct?
Yep, that's right. Yep.
If you ever come down to my neck of the woods here in Arkansas.
Well, we're actually going to have a priest retreat in late May, May 21st through the 25th in Florida. So we will be down in the South. And so if anybody knows a priest or a pastor that could use Unbound, use greater freedom in their life, tell them to check it out.
That's great. And I will, Matt's probably not going to say this because he's very humble in this, but people travel to Philadelphia for these. I know in the weekend that I did years ago, gosh, we had people from Arizona, Canada, all over. I mean, so much so that all the local people were asked, like, could you just maybe come back for prayer, because those people who flew in need the prayer. Yeah. Yeah, which is, that's a great problem to have. So people travel.
We also have a network of teams on our website. If you live in another state, you can find teams throughout the country and in different countries in the world that are doing Unbound, so that you can experience this ministry.
That's great. So much hope. I feel a lot of hope from this conversation. I think our listeners are going to hopefully get to this part of the podcast and feel hopeful that they don't have to walk in bondage to the lie that Satan has been whispering for years and years. So Matt, thank you so much for your time, and we really are going to have you back. So we can open that box, that gift.
Well, thanks for having me.
Megan, the opportunity that we have doing this podcast and getting to speak to people who are really living their life for Christ, they are evangelizing and they are sharing the good news in a very tangible way. This is such a gift.
Oh, it totally is. No wonder you were seeing an image of a box.
Yeah.
It has been.
I know. I just said the word gift again and I thought, yeah, there
it is. But it is. I mean, and that is what the heart of the Father is. He loves us so immensely. He wants to gift us. He doesn't want us to live in bondage. You know, he doesn't, whether we, you know, don't really understand all of what that encompasses, he just wants to love us. And that's what I love about, I love what Matt's doing. I love his work. I love the ministry, because it's about the love, you know, the love and the heart of the Father. It's so rich. It really is. And
well, there's never this tone of, because he is talking about sin. There is plenty of sin when we're walking in bondage, mm-hmm. but it's never, you sinner, you must repent. It's not that type of language, or there's no intention like that. That's evil. That's that accuser, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And no, it's okay. Walking in that bondage, it's just heavy. It's terrible. It sucks your joy. And let's move beyond that. Like he said, let's walk in that life abundantly. Right. Not that there won't be crosses. And I'm really thankful he said that, just for the balance of sometimes when we speak on one topic, it can feel like we're heavy on one side and we forgot the other side. So I really appreciated him balancing that conversation, mm-hmm. reminding us of the whole picture. But
yeah, exactly. I mean, he does. He has a master's in theology as well. I mean, this isn't just somebody who decided to stumble into this. I mean, he's you know, very learned in that sense of, you know, knowing the theological basis. He's obviously understands the biblical basis. And that's why it is so rich and it is such a gift. And I don't think it could have arrived at a better time, mm-hmm. right after the heels of, you know, part one and part two of a difficult topic to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know that I personally have benefited from that ministry, the healing, the deliverance from bondage. And yeah, man, the story you shared you both shared a story about whispers and the lies that come in when we're so young. And they're prevalent.
Right.
You know? And right. How his own father delivered him from that lie. I love that. That's really, really beautiful piece of his story, because I had asked him before we got to recording. He and I had a private chat, and I said, yeah, I really hope that you share your conversion story, because some people go into their father's business, you know, some industrial business or a construction business or something, but you are walking into your father's ministry, and that doesn't always happen. So,
That's right.
I hope you really share with us on what made you decide to do that.
So. Yeah, isn't that awesome? They're such a great family. And, one of the things that I just want to put out there, because if we have a listener who's like, deliverance ministry, I heard we're not supposed to do that, or I heard, sadly, there have been this, deliverance ministries that have been very confrontational. And that is what causes manifestations. That's what causes this air of fear. And it is the polar opposite of the model that Unbound uses. And there's never confronting demons. There's never, ever speaking to demons. Those are for the exorcist. We'll have to have Matt back because, we did like the 5,000 view of Unbound and really kind of just deliverance in general. But I do encourage people to take that 8-week course because I think they'll learn a little bit more. But Sue talked about this. She's talked about like infestations, which are kind of those ghosts or the weird smells or the electrical malfunctionings and things like that. Most often, Catholics who are, going to church on a regular basis and receiving the sacrament of confession, the possession is very rare in those cases. Okay. Unless somebody, so it's not like it just happens, but the smaller things like those infestations or those oppressions, or even go even smaller than that, just the lies that hinder us. We all have those lies. We all have those conversations, and I talked about that a little bit on the mentorship podcast. I'm pretty sure that's where it was, where we talked about understanding the voices, like God's voice, our voice, and then the enemy's voice. And I'm sure there are people listening saying, I'm not really in bondage. I never did any of that stuff. I steered clear of that stuff. I didn't have an issue here, and I didn't have an issue there. If at any point you're having certain conversations that kind of go like, that down that path of accusatory, like, well, you're really not that great at it. Like, why would somebody want to hear what you have to say? You really have never been right. Or those are all just those subtle signs that we've believed a lie somewhere. We've bought into a lie. And look, this happens all the time. So one of the things that has been a great takeaway for me is once you learn the skills and those five keys, almost right away when that conversation happens, like my conversation kind of goes like this, like, oh, I can't get a break. Why does this always happen? Blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, yeah, well, because you never really do that right anyway. Right away, I'm like, all right, I just pray out loud and I start walking through the five keys. And it's amazing how quickly you can deflect that spiral into a woe is me conversation. Or feeling. So I think it's just so great. These are all skills. They're all coming in little bits and pieces, but they're all skills that can come together, and they allow us to truly live in the freedom of Jesus Christ, which is all the deepest desire of our heart.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an old saying that, it's not old saying, I don't even know who said it, but I used to really think about this all the time. Like, you should really stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. And what that really means is I need to stop thinking all those thoughts, the lies that have been put there, and I need to think on what is true, and that God is good. God loves me. I am his child, and he is faithful. He is going to care for me. Like, those are the things that I need to tell myself rather than listening to, oh my word, where is this going? Oh my word, what is going to happen? I'm not really sure. And how are we going to do that? And how are we going to do that? And, well, you're no good. That's never going to happen for you. So it's that stop listening to yourself and start preaching to yourself. Right. And start talking to yourself.
And it helps us with others. So like, people are going to think that I have like only one particular person, but the teenage years are challenging, and I had a teen last night, and they're challenging in a good way, but I had a teen who was like, I can never do well on bio. It doesn't matter how much I study. I must have a learning disability. Like, I stink. Like, it was getting like, and I just looked at him and I was like, do you really believe that? And sometimes that just is enough to get that person. He almost was like, my gosh, no, I don't really believe that. Why was I even saying that? So, just to kind of maybe in a, in a tender and gentle way to just ask the question, like, do you really believe that? And if they say, yeah, I really believe that, then that's also a clue that maybe we need a little renouncing, because mm-hmm. that God the Father wouldn't speak like that to his child, you know,
right.
And that you're so dumb, you'll never get it right. You must have something wrong with your brain.
Right. I'm pretty sure God doesn't
talk like
really
that.
Just set us down like that.
Right.
I think that's a great point, Megan, that we as women who are mothers, wives, and friends, we really need to get good at this. A lot of us are leading ministries. We really do need to get good at hearing people, but really hearing them.
Right.
And when they're having this negative self-talk, stopping them because you love them. Whoa, wait a minute. So you just said that I am the worst mother in the entire world and my kids are going to be horrible when they grow up. Mm-hmm. Like, do you really believe that? I mean, that's a great question. I mean, that is really a great point. We need to be in fraternal correction, turning people back to Christ. And this is where you are so good for me and correcting me when I can go off on my crazy tangents is, no, we're going to walk in praise of Jesus Christ, who saved us from the bounds of sin. Let us not give any more time to Satan than he's already stolen from us. And let's reclaim it, reclaim our sonship, our daughtership, and let us walk in the freedom and the truth of who we are in Christ, and praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, thank you for joining us again this week. We're so grateful for all of you with us in the trenches. You can find show notes on thrivinginthetrenches.com. Please subscribe, leave us a review on iTunes, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where you can join the conversation. Thanks for coming.